Study this morning is out of Psalm 119, verses 25 to 32, or section Daleth, the use of Scripture in overcoming depression. Psalm 119 is all about the profitable use of God's written Scriptures, with the psalm being formed as an acrostic. That is, each section contains a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in that section. Section Daleth in Psalm 119, 25 to 32, reveals the great value and the use of Scripture in overcoming depression. So we view the section for insight and edification on that fact as well. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into His Word. Father, we're grateful for Christ. We're grateful this morning for the indwelling Spirit of God, the salvation that we enjoy in Christ, and for Your Word. And as we get into Your Word this morning, we ask, Father, for insight, first of all, to understand it, and wisdom to apply it, and power to succeed in the Christian life because of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the section out of the King's English first, in the King James Version, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Section Daleth, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared thy ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Okay, the verse numbering system, of course, in the Hebrew text matches the English Bible, so we're just staying with the numbering system that we have. So in translate, this section Daleth in verses 25 to 32 as follows. My life principle, that's the Hebrew word nephesh. It first appears in Genesis 2:7, where God created man a nephesh. Man has mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical life. But here it cleaves to the dry earth, to the dust. Revive me. Now in the context, we're going to find out that he's suffering from depression. So this is affecting the mental, the emotional, and possibly even the spiritual realm of his life. And of course, when you affect these negatively, it also affects negatively the body. I've had many medical experts, and also we had a physical therapist in our church at one time, Marge Kassir, who pointed out how what happens to the body often affects chemicals in the brain, and that affects how you feel and how you think. So, for example, Marge said that they have discovered that when people have an attitude of thankfulness, there are certain endorphins that are released in the brain that are very, very healthy for the body. And so they're beginning to work on patients to make them express thankfulness. Interesting, just for their own physical health. So anyway, in this situation, the person is cleaving to the dust, and I'm going to take it in the context mentally, emotionally, and probably spiritually, and it may actually affect them physically as well. And then he says, revive me in accord with your word, in accordance with key, it could be in alignment with your word. Verse 2, my ways have I rehearsed, and it's an intensive stem with the word peel, so he's rehearsed it in prayer. And you answered me, teach me your statutes. Of the ways of your appointed charges or your precepts, give me understanding. The word bin originally means to discern, but we're broadening it here to understanding. Then will I meditate, shiha, it means to muse or meditate or mutter, on your extraordinary things. And that would be the extraordinary things of Scripture truth that he's asking God for help with. My life principle drips, and that's a figurative reference to weeping, dalap, from grief, in accord with, there's key again, your word firmly establish or confirm me. the scriptures are necessary for establishing and confirming a person who's struggling with depression. Interesting. Notice verse 5. This is the key to the whole psalm, the whole section. The way of deception or falsehood. Sheker means to be deceived, or there's a falsehood of some sort. So deception and falsehood plays a significant role in depression. The way of deception, falsehood, caused me to depart, or caused to depart from me. That's a hifil causative stem. And given your law, be gracious to me. In other words, he asks God for graciousness amid its revealing a sense of deception or falsehood in his life. The way of faithfulness or trust. Emunah can mean either the word faithfulness or trust, and I believe both concepts are here. The way of faithfulness or trust have I chosen. Your verdicts, mishpat, that would be the scripture critiquing his sin. Your verdicts have stilled, shawah, me. It's fascinating how even when scripture goes to work, when it critiques that which is false, and the believer understands it, it settles you down because you recognize, wow, I was buying into an error and that's what was bothering me. Verse 7, I cleave. There's the verb debak again that appeared in verse 1. I cleave to your testimonies. Instead of cleaving to the earth, I cleave to your word. Yahweh, do not let me be ashamed. And then verse 8, in the way of your commandments, I run. Notice he was, in verse 1, he was cleaving to the dust because he was depressed. Now he runs. He's productive. He can get out and he can act. I run, for you have enlarged Rahab. And in the context, that means to growth and vigor or health, my heart. And the word heart means inner man. So, we consider significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. The psalmist describes his state of depression and hope of relief from it by applying scripture. This is so important. At one particular time in my life, I actually went to see a secular psychologist, and he also referred me to a secular psychiatrist, and I was actually prescribed Deseril. And you take Deseril and it makes you numb. In fact, I would take it and I would have to lie down. I have to get off from the table and actually lie down on the floor. I was so sleepy at this particular point. And it's incredible. There was, and I'll get into this, the application of scripture resolved this immediately. The process of gaining this relief through applying scripture is described in verses 26 to 32 as follows. First, the afflicted believer expresses his trouble to God in prayer, exposing it, or instead of them, to God's word. The first thing to do, go to prayer. If we're struggling with depression or something that's bothering us or worrying us or nagging at us, what we need to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. The Bible talks about cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain thee. That's Psalm 32. Second, the afflicted gains insight from God's word into what truly causes his depression, or really truly caused it. Third, the psalmist's grief expressed in his depressed state is stilled through the strengthening insight of God's written word, the scriptures. And fourth, and this is the heart of the matter, as we pointed out earlier, what deceit had led to misguided viewpoints and actions by the psalmist that had produced this depression is faced and graciously critiqued by God's word. Now, it is true that a person can experience depression because of a physical problem. For example, if you break a bone in your arm, break a leg bone in your arm, a bone in your leg, your arm, either one, there's an automatic physical depression that sets in because of the breaking of the bone. Or if you've had a surgical procedure, often the third day after the surgical procedure, that's when the pain is at the highest form. There's a depression that sets in because it's physiologically caused. Okay, and you get over that. But we're talking about the vast majority of depressions are caused because of a problem in the spiritual realm, not because of physical situations. And those problems are caused because of deceit. We've bought into an error or an errant viewpoint of some sort, and that deceit has backed us into a corner, yet we think it's true, and so we keep going with it. And the more we keep going with it, the further into the corner we get, and it just crushes us. So fifth, the psalmist chooses to believe the truth of God's word regarding the matter in which he had been deceived. Consequently, he agrees with the truth, and thus he shifts from error to reality, and he gets out of the corner. Sixth, the psalmist decides to hold. This is so important. Don't go back to the old idea of error. Hold to that truth of God's word versus relapsing into, again, believing the troublesome falsehood he had before believed that had produced his depression. And seventh, he finds that he can now face life on the run versus lying in the dust of depression, contrasting verse 25a with 32a. God has so revived him and made him whole by the application of scripture truth to dispel the troubling error that he has overcome depression and become joyful. This is so important. So the psalmist learned from scripture that the cause of his depression was his adoption of a falsehood as reality, and the solution was his application of scripture to replace the errant view with actual reality, that is, the truth. So may we overcome non-physically caused depression by supporting false views with Bible truth. The illustration I was using when I had gone to see the psychologist and so forth, these are secular people, okay? And I was a believer at the time. But I was sharing the problems and the concerns I felt and so forth. And right away he realized what the problem was, but he had to be careful how he went about it. But he just shot out an interesting statement. He said, well, not everybody can be a Renaissance man, you know. And then he caught himself and then went back. Now, the reference to being a Renaissance man is supposed to be a person who is an expert in all fields, okay, and who is absolutely above criticism in any area because he's proficient in everything. And I went home and I thought about it and I realized what my problem was. I was trying to live up to the expectations of other people, all of them, instead of living up to the expectations of God. God's expectations are very different from people. People will make a slave out of you because of the expectations that they have of you as a person. God's not that way. God wants you to work with the spiritual gift that he's given you. He wants you to work within the background that he's given you, heritage and everything, your language, your training, and so forth. And he uses you within a very... It's interesting, the Bible talks about... Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest to your souls. If we're taking God's yoke upon us, it's not a work thing, it's a relaxing thing. Well, I was trying to live up to the expectations of others, and I realized I was getting cornered. So I right away confessed it to the Lord. I was yielding to a form of legalism. And almost instantly, that whole burden was gone, absolutely gone. And I realized, you know what I need to do? I need to pay attention to what God wants me to do. What does God say? And that made a tremendous difference. And that has been a liberating thing ever since. It's wonderful, and especially if you're in the pastorate, because you've got a whole congregation of people who might have expectations or viewpoints and so forth. And if you try to live up to all of those expectations, you'll end up in the nut house in 6 months. Believe me, because you can't. You're a human being. You're limited in your capacity, and you shouldn't think of yourself as a Renaissance man. You have a spiritual gift in one area, and that spiritual gift excels in one area of that particular gift, and you need to go with that. When I was ordained, there were seven pastors that were examining me at the time, and they noticed right away what the gift was, and that is the capacity to recall. And they said, Don, you need to stay with that in your ministry. If you shift away from that, you're going to get into trouble. If you stay with that, and that recall of Scripture and utilize that, the Lord will bless you in the ministry. And they've been absolutely right on. Of course, they had gifts themselves as pastors, and they could clarify it. But it was coming to the truth that was so exhilarating and so releasing. And since then, when I've dealt with people as a pastor, when I've dealt with people who have expressed coming into depression and so forth, I try to get into looking at reality. What is reality? What does God expect of you? What is the reality? What are you? Sometimes a person has an errant view of himself. He says, well, I don't think God really likes me. And I'll stop there and say, whoa, wait a minute. Why do you think God doesn't like you? Well, because I'm not this or I'm not that. I can't achieve this or that. So I take them back to positional truth. You're adopted in Christ. You're circumcised in Christ. You're sanctified in Christ. You're light on the Lord, and so forth. The 32 things that happen to you the moment you're saved have nothing to do with whether or not you can sing well, or whether or not you've memorized 1 Corinthians chapter 13 or whatever in the Bible that you're trying to live up to. And when they realize that God has accepted, in fact, in Ephesians 1, you're accepted in the beloved of what? Just as God accepts his son, he now accepts you in him because you're in him. So when you get to heaven, the Lord's going to feel, and you're going to find God the Father feels as warmly towards you as he does his own son. That's simply because your position in Christ. Nothing because of your abilities or lack of abilities as a human being. None of that matters. And that really helps and gets people out of the doldrums. But once again, the solution is truth. Scripture truth. We've got to pay attention. This is why, and you'll hear me harp many, many times about the need for truth over error. Because it applies in so many areas of life. It applies specifically, and especially in this area of overcoming depression. Because depression is caused, if non-physical depression is caused because people have bought into a lie. And they're living according to it, and the lie is backfiring, but they don't realize that it's a lie, and so they keep holding to that thing, and it's false. And it gets them into tremendous trouble. So we need to look to the Lord. This also reminds me of the time I was in the hospital, and there's a woman, she was Roman Catholic, and she was outside of my door, and they had her on a gurney there. They for some reason, they didn't have a room open. And she had a physical situation in which she was in a state in which, from her perspective, she was in limbo. She couldn't communicate to anybody. Nobody could communicate to her. And she thought she was actually in limbo. And she kept crying out throughout the night, "Oh, Mary, Mother of God, whatever did I do to deserve this?" And I felt so sorry for this lady. But all she had to go on was the theology that she had learned. So in this situation, she was troubled. Now, if this had been a believer, a godly believer, they may have recognized that, you know, there is no such thing as limbo. So this is a physical problem. And they could have been much more settled. But this lady was in agony. And I felt so sorry for her, but there's nothing I could do about it. I was in the hospital at the time. I had, you know, 6 broken ribs, a collapsed lung, couldn't get out of bed. But the Lord demonstrated at that particular point the tremendous need to minister to people of Roman Catholic background or Roman Catholics and to minister to them and show them the grace that we have in Jesus Christ and the truth in the Word. So this is very, very important, truth and getting to the truth and then accepting the truth and then cleaving to the truth, not going back to that error. Let that error go. Hold on to the truth of the Word of God. And if you have to read that passage, I've told people, if you need to read it every 15 minutes, the truth that liberates you, read it. Make sure you're adhering to the truth, because if you do, then the Lord will bless you. So may we overcome non-verbally caused depression by supplanting false views with Bible truth. Okay, we'll open it up to you for input, questions. Could be on this particular lesson. It certainly doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up, another area of concern or issues that you have.